doing reps with the weight of the world.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Triceptor Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Triceptor Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Boy, I didn't think we were going to get on the air today. I've had nothing but technical difficulties, but I'm happy to say that I'm here and we're going to have a great show today. My guest this hour is a returning guest, Dr. Merrill Nass. How you doing, Dr. Nass?
I'm great. Thanks.
We're going to be talking about vaccines. You can't turn left, right, open a newspaper, turn on the TV or listen to the radio today without somebody telling you that you need to take a vaccine. And we're going to be talking about really the adult population vaccines right now, because that is where the greatest degree of emphasis is being placed right now. Especially on the heels of the release of a movie called Contagion, which I have to believe was a government-sponsored movie in one way, shape, or form, to promote that vaccines are all good and safe and you really, everyone should take a vaccine. And I don't think that that's necessarily the case. I don't think that all vaccines are bad, but I think that there's more to that. Dr. Nass, did you have a chance to see the movie Contagion by any chance?
I did.
What were your thoughts of it?
Well, I'll tell you, one thing they omitted from the movie was the fact that there's a possibility of drugs, monoclonal antibodies, and other biologicals that can be used. And so, although it does take months to manufacture a vaccine, sometimes you already have those products available, or you may be able to make them quicker, so that everybody, you know, got a date to get their vaccination in the movie Contagion. But there were other things that people could have done, as I said. Wearing a mask, using gloves, avoiding public places are all, in terms of the flu anyway, have been shown to be more effective than the flu vaccine.
Well, now let me ask you a question. And is there any plausibility to the idea that a bat chewing on a piece of fruit could drop it and a small pig could pick it up and that could start the biosynthesis of one of these mutant viruses?
Well, you know, I don't know.
That looked like a real stretch to me. I'm not a biologist, but that it seems to me that there has to be a little bit more science behind how these things mutate.
You know, everybody makes an assumption that birds like chickens and pigs are held in very close surroundings, and that somehow genetic material does get swapped somehow in the viruses that transmit between them. And yes, I mean, this can happen. Genetic material from the host or from another virus that's inside the host can be swapped with a new virus, and you come up with new combinations. And so influenza every year usually has some changes in the hemagglutinin that need then to be addressed with a new vaccine. So these things happen. So we do have new strains of flu appearing every year, and it's believed that most of them appear out of China. But certainly you could also do this kind of genetic engineering in the lab. It doesn't have to happen in a market. I don't know why they used a bat instead of a chicken. That's
yeah,
that's
right.
The usual way things are discussed, but
I think that's what it was. I think that because people are probably afraid of bats, there's a sinister halo over bats because of Dracula. And so, you know, ooh, the bat dropped it and then the pig ate
mm-hmm.
it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, have you noticed a redoubling of effort on the release and dissemination of information about vaccines in recent months, that it's almost like no matter where you turn, you're getting some sort of propaganda about the benefits of vaccination?
Yes. I think also that trying to force flu vaccination for example, on healthcare employees is becoming a much bigger deal. So 3 years ago, there were virtually no hospitals in the United States that required their employees to get flu vaccine. And now there are hundreds. So that large hospital systems have started enforcing this, you know, firing people if they don't get vaccinated. Other places say if you don't get vaccinated, you have to wear a mask throughout the 4 to 6 months of flu season. So even though it's never been shown, this is very interesting, there is no published data that shows that vaccinating hospital staff reduces episodes of flu in patients, because you're not actually contagious until you start coughing. And if you don't, you shouldn't be going to work when you're coughing, you know, if you've got sick patients to take care of.
Right.
So if you just send people home when they're coughing or don't have them come at all, there really isn't an issue of spreading it. So no one's been able to demonstrate that hospital workers actually give flu to patients or cause more deaths or any of that.
Now, it should also be said right up front that you are not an opponent of vaccines. I've had you on the show before, and you have said, you know, there are some people that benefit from vaccines, but you have to weigh the risks. But you are a proponent of informed consent, correct?
Absolutely. What I think we need is just more information about vaccines. What happens is that all the vaccines that are available on the market are already licensed, and so it's very rare for anyone to collect data on what kinds of long-term consequences may be associated with them. The manufacturer doesn't want to know, because that could only cut into their profits. It would be expensive to conduct the study. So nobody really looks to, you know, people, for instance, develop autoimmune illnesses. As we age, autoimmune illnesses are the fourth largest category of illnesses in Americans, and yet we don't know if the vaccines we've received play a part in that, and nobody's really collecting the data here to find out.
Vaccines are big business when you think about it. Unlike a drug, let's say, that's a diabetes medication, which you can only then market to people who have diabetes, vaccines are kind of like homeowner's insurance. You buy it so that you don't have a problem. And vaccines really are designed to be marketed in a much broader way to everyone out there. So they really are big business, aren't they?
Not only that, which is true, but they are seen as the growth industry within pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
And so there are hundreds of different vaccines in development now for cancer, for acne, for, you know, STDs, for any sort of thing that you can imagine, there are vaccines in development. Any illness you can imagine. Even
if I told you that I read the other day, now this has nothing to do with humans, but they're actually working on a vaccine that will cut down the events of flatulence in cows because of because of methane. I'm being sincere about this. I mean, it's bizarre. It's always appeared to me that vaccines were the next stepping stone for the pharmaceutical industry, because there's a big pushback for people like my age who say, no, I don't want a pharmaceutical drug. I want to find a different way to do this. But vaccines, like I said, they are available to everybody. I want to talk about a couple vaccines. I want to talk first. Well, actually, before we go into this first break, you have testified before Congress about the effects of the anthrax vaccine in the past, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Have you heard that recently they want to test the anthrax vaccine on children?
Yes.
What is your opinion of this?
Well, it's a terrible idea. I think it's an illegal trial, because if you're going to do a test under the Code of Federal Regulations, children can't give informed consent. So if you want to test something on children and if there's any risk to it, that you have to be testing something that child is susceptible to. So they have a genetic or some other susceptibility. If the child is going to get absolutely no benefit from being in the clinical trial, you can't subject them to more than minimal risk. And yet the anthrax vaccine is the most dangerous vaccine available. And
talk about that. When you were on my show last, you said that military enlisted personnel sign away their rights to be informed about what they're being injected with. And many of them are injected with the anthrax vaccine. And you said that some number out of some number ends up with a problem with their heart, specifically because of the anthrax vaccine, correct?
Yeah, we also talk about smallpox, and actually the heart problems were more common in smallpox vaccines.
Okay. Swelling, was that inflammation of the heart or something like that?
There has been some inflammation. Some people have gotten heart failure, and some people have had heart attacks. So the smallpox vaccine is no longer being used in the civilian population because of those side effects, but still every soldier who deploys to Iraq, Afghanistan, Korea, has to get smallpox vaccine too.
And certain percentage of them do develop
side effects. And there have been papers published in the military about soldiers who have developed cardiac complications from smallpox vaccine. And I don't know what they're doing about it. The military is aware of this. They published a paper years ago around, 2005 or 2006 with over 50 cases. So I hope I'm remembering that correctly.
Okay. All right. Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the premise of some of these newer vaccines that are coming out that are being marketed to adults. We're talking with Dr. Merrill Nass. You can read more her writings about vaccines in general, as well as the anthrax vaccine specifically, at her blog, which is anthraxvaccine.blogspot.com. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro Series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate, and you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me, and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it, and you'll be a believer too.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to ageforce.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow. I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on The Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest this hour is Dr. Merrill Nass. We're talking about vaccines. Understand that this is not a conspiracy theory show. We're not saying that vaccines are bad, exclusively bad, or a stunt by the government to thin the herd and reduce the population. But we are saying that when you follow the money, vaccines, like every other drug out there, are being promoted for sale for profit, and not exclusively because of the benefits that they would provide those who take the vaccines. Now, clearly, Dr. Nass, there are vaccines that are worthy of looking into, like, for instance, the polio vaccine, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But with that being said, have
you... Well, there's no polio in the United States. And so, actually, all the polio cases in the U.S. in recent years have been due to vaccination. And so now we're no longer using the live polio vaccine. We're using a killed vaccine, although the live vaccine, which is cheaper to produce, is being used in the third world. So if you're going to a country where polio is endemic, absolutely be vaccinated. But if you're just living in the United States, it's actually unnecessary.
Wow.
Tetanus is very important. I mean,
yes.
People who don't get vaccinated for tetanus, you know, often die. Women die, you know, in childbirth from tetanus infections. But other vaccines, it's variable. Hep B doesn't need to be given to babies at birth. It's a sexually transmitted bloodborne disease. Very unlikely for a baby to get Hep B. So, you know, you have to look at the whole picture.
What about the diphtheria vaccine? Do you know anything about that one?
What I can tell you is that in Russia, when they, after the sort of fall of the Soviet Union in 89, vaccination rates went way down, and they had epidemics of diphtheria in Russia. So okay. I think that continuing that vaccine is excellent.
Okay. Now, there's an emerging vaccine that is making the news. Politicians are using it to try to create platforms on it. That's the Gardasil or human papilloma virus vaccine. Do you have an opinion of the HPV vaccine, Dr. Nass?
Yes. If you go to the FDA website and look for the letter that FDA sent to Merck when it approved the vaccine initially for use in women, it was before that it was approved for boys, you'll see that Merck was asked to do a large number of clinical trials to find out how effective the vaccine was, how long it would work for, whether they would need boosters and when, whether it was going to cause birth defects in women who were pregnant, because you were giving it to a population, which is a population that has the most pregnancy, obviously, young women. And so there were all kinds of questions about how effective and how safe the vaccine was that had not been answered at the time the vaccine was licensed. So those clinical trials are presumably still going on. But it was worrisome to me that it was approved with such limited understanding of the vaccine. Now, the idea of this vaccine is to prevent cervical cancer. If women get pap smears, you can prevent virtually all cervical cancer. 99% of cervical cancer is prevented with pap smears. And because the vaccine does not cover all strains of HPV that can go on to develop cervical cancer, women who get Gardasil still have to have pap smears. The same frequency, everything the same. And if women, the initial idea of the vaccine was that it would be given in the third world to women who didn't have access to pap smears, and it would save lives in that way.
Yes, some small number of lives.
Well, in the third world, maybe more, because they're not getting the pap smears, so they're not having their cervical cancer detected when it's treatable. But here in the U.S., if you get your pap smear every year or two, your cervical cancer will be detected when it's treatable, and there should be virtually no deaths. A fear is that women who have Gardasil vaccine will stop getting pap smears because they feel safe, and it could paradoxically actually lead to more cervical cancer deaths if that occurs. So,
okay.
You know, these are all big questions.
Now,
the way it was marketed was a problem because the manufacturer donated money to a lot of groups of politicians, such as the group Women in Government, which is made up of female state legislators. And this group, you know, developed a plan to basically market Gardasil by having states impose mandates for Gardasil vaccine on their populations. And, you know, Merck got into trouble with that when Rick Perry didn't even bother going through the legislature. He just had issued an executive order and said all little girls in Texas are going to get this vaccine. And the legislature overturned it, and he's, you know, gotten a lot of bad publicity. But the Washington, D.C., and I think Virginia, maybe it was West Virginia, but one state and the District of Columbia have also voted to require it of young girls in those places, but they have not enforced it. So, in fact, only about a quarter of the girls in those states are getting it. We really don't have enough data now to know whether it's going to reduce cervical cancer or increase it, you know, whether people are having serious side effects, but there are loads of VAERS reports that have been filed for Gardasil. In the UK, they've been giving girls gift certificates to go buy clothing if they get the Gardasil vaccine.
How disgusting.
And there are a large number of people who don't finish the three-dose series. So when you see that, you assume that the earlier doses somehow made people ill, or they didn't like how they felt after the first or second dose, and they never went on to complete the three-dose series.
There was an article just recently that boasted three more deaths due to Gardasil. There seems to be a lot of people out there who are claiming that when young girls get those who are susceptible to the side effects will develop issues. I want to say, is it Epstein or Guillain-Barré syndrome, where you become kind of exhausted all the time and so on? They say that some girls develop that from the
right, a kind of chronic fatigue syndrome.
Yes. And I had Dr. Jared Scowron on the show not too long ago, who's a naturopath, who said that he has seen girls who have gotten the Gardasil vaccine who are 13 years old and never had sex and develop cervical cancer, and he believes that it's from the Gardasil vaccine that they're developing this. Have you ever heard, from your response, I assume you haven't heard this at all. But
no, I haven't.
Is the Gardasil vaccine one of those vaccines where we don't really know enough about it to say, yeah, let's go ahead and use it, especially given the fact that it doesn't seem to be that effective? Many people say, in fact, the government's own hand-picked panel, the group that said men shouldn't worry about PSA and women should only get mammograms every so often, they recently, when they were ruling in on the need for pap smears and so on, said that an HPV test would not be a good indicator of the potential for cervical cancer. That tells me right
correct.
There that you don't
yes.
need the Gardasil vaccine.
That's right, because most HPV infections go away on their own
right.
without causing cervical cancer. So, you know, many, many of us are infected with these viruses, and we never have a problem. Yeah, I don't think enough is known about this vaccine to recommend it, particularly in children. I think it was, you know, precipitously licensed, and then the marketing was very aggressive.
Why do Dr. Nass?
I would not give it to my child.
Absolutely not. And I really, there are vaccines that are worthwhile, and we're going to talk more about those in a second. But why is it that the government condones this type of reckless medicine? Vaccines, in my humble opinion, are a form of reckless medicine because they're not required to prove efficacy. They're not required to prove safety. And yet they can go to market so quickly. And on top of that, I read on Barbara Lowe Fisher's website that the government actually has an arm that is designed to absorb and handle the financial repercussions against pharmaceutical companies for negative effects of vaccines, that the government actually pays that out in as a buffer, if you will, so that the
yes.
pharmaceutical companies don't have to be tagged with that. Why are we using tax dollars to provide safety for private companies?
Well, there are a couple of arms of the government that will pay out for vaccine injuries. One, actually, the money comes from a sort of a surtax on vaccines. So there is less than a dollar for the cost of each vaccine goes into this fund to compensate vaccine injuries. But if you are injured by a vaccine for which the Department of Health and Human Services has given a waiver, a special waiver for emergency preparedness, and that would be anthrax and smallpox vaccine. if you're a civilian. You can then apply to DHHS, and that comes straight out of your tax dollars to try to get some money for your injury. I think they haven't given out much, and DHHS gets to decide on the criteria for determining whether what's wrong with you actually was due to the vaccine. And DHHS makes the, so they develop the criteria, they make the determination. If you appeal, you appeal to some other employee of DHHS, you're not allowed to go into the courts. So if you are injured by a swine flu vaccine, anthrax vaccine, smallpox vaccine, because HHS has given a PrEP waiver for those vaccines, you will never be able to sue the manufacturer unless very odd conditions were met, including the secretary of DHHS has to allow you to sue the manufacturer. And the most money you could ever get, even for a death or a permanent disability, is about $300,000. Which is not nearly enough to pay for somebody who needs total care.
No, and you know what? And it's not punitive either. We have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to touch a little bit about the reason that I had you on the first time, which was the H1N1 swine flu virus and its associated vaccine. We're talking with Dr. Meryl Nass. You can learn more about her by going to her blog, which is anthraxvaccine.blogspot.com. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at NeedToBuildMuscle.com. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains D-aspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better. Bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizol works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
What up, y'all? Yeah. Soundtrack, what's poppin', baby? Woo.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest this hour is Dr. Merrill Nass. The subject is vaccines. You can't open a newspaper, turn on a TV show, or look in any direction without being told that there is some benefit to some new vaccine that you should be taking, that your children should be taking. I mean, the list goes on and on. The repurposing of vaccines is actually very, very popular right now. Those who promote Gardasil are now saying that it's the HPV virus that actually causes a certain atherosclerotic effects in the heart. And they even want to repurpose the vaccine. Have you seen that, Dr. Nass, recently?
I'm sorry.
That HPV causes heart disease, and they want to repurpose the HPV virus vaccine for people who are at risk, higher risk of heart disease.
No, I missed that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was in the newspaper. I want to say this past Thursday or Wednesday that you know, everything in the world is caused by a human papillomavirus right now. So anyway, it's funny, but it's true. Your first appearance on my show was in response to the swine flu pandemic that never happened. Millions and millions of doses of the swine flu H1N1 vaccine were purchased by countries and governments only to sit in stockpile rooms and expire. Countries were feverishly trying to sell what they had left because no one ran and got the vaccine. And ironically, there were not a lot of dead bodies to justify the use of the term pandemic. It even led the U.S. government to extend the expiration dates on the vaccines that it had purchased for the military so that they wouldn't have to throw this stuff away. Mm-hmm. So my question to you is this. When does it become an offensive action on behalf of a government to allow the, screaming fire in a movie theater to sell vaccines? When does it become something that is actionable against the government?
You can't sue the government. That's the problem. So you got to find somebody else to sue. In the case of the swine flu vaccine, as I said, the Secretary of DHHS gave it a waiver so that you couldn't sue the manufacturer either. Our federal government, which offered these flu clinics and appeared to be so benign, you know, trying to take care of all of us with the vaccine, didn't tell people that they had waived the vaccine and that if people got sick from it, they would be on their own. So I think, you know, informed consent is usually required for medical processes. When you give a child a vaccine, you have to hand them out a form from the CDC that tells about the risks and benefits of that vaccine. But for the H1N1 vaccine, the government itself never told us the truth.
And you're right. Governments are protected by something called... Oh, I always forget this when I want to say it, and then I remember it right after the show is over. But anyway, it'll come back to me. But the bottom line is the best thing that people can do is learn about vaccines before they take them. Don't just believe because you're getting a vaccine at Walgreens that it's safe for you because they're administering it there. A lot of people take the attitude that vaccines are safe. Otherwise, they wouldn't be available widespread the way they are, and they're not. Dr. Nass, what makes a vaccine dangerous? Is it the attenuated virus that is used, or is it the other things in there that are designed to stimulate an immune response and preservatives and so on and so forth?
That is the $60,000 question. Nobody knows, and if anybody knows, they're not admitting it. So, for example, there was a swine flu vaccine in Australia that caused 10 times as many seizures as normal. So that was studied. A committee was set up. They had a Nobel Prize winning scientist heading the committee. When they got done, they said, we don't know. A vaccine is a complicated mix of adjuvants, antigens, sometimes other extraneous material. Anthrax vaccine happens to have a lot of extraneous material. The old smallpox vaccine had a lot of extraneous material, the new one less so. And so there are all these different molecules in there. In some cases, for smallpox and anthrax, they haven't ever even been defined. We don't even know what molecules are in the vaccine.
Well, the manufacturers know what's in there, right?
No, because basically what they do is they grow up, say, anthrax in a vat, you know, and then they just throw in an adjuvant, which will bind to certain things in this mix, and then everything that binds to the adjuvant, everything that goes down to the bottom of the tube when they centrifuge it becomes vaccine.
I'm shocked. It doesn't.
It's a very crude method of production.
Yeah, a hodgepodge approach.
It's a hodgepodge, and from one batch to the other, there are different amounts of different products, and so it's very hard to determine what exactly any one vaccine that causes the illnesses.
Is thimerosal still used actively in vaccines?
Yes, it depends on the vaccine. Now, for many childhood vaccines, they've tried to take it out. So they put it in initially, and then they get out about 95% of it. And there are small amounts left in.
Is it true that thimerosal is 50% by weight mercury?
Mercury, yes.
So how can any organization, government, entity justify injecting people with mercury when a droplet of mercury from a thermometer in a public school, they clear the school out and hazmat has to come in?
Right. It is amusing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard of somebody breaking a thermometer on an airplane and having the cleanup cost tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, but yet they can inject it into your body. How do they do that? How do they justify that?
I don't know. I think, you know, it's ignored.
I guess people need to start asking.
One thing that people do is say that there's a difference between ethyl mercury and methyl mercury, mm-hmm. and they don't have a lot of data showing that the kind in vaccines is a problem. But anyway, there are many arguments. The bottom line is, in flu vaccines, unless it's the live vaccine for children, but the killed vaccine, which is the kind adults get, you have the same amount of thimerosal, the 25 micrograms that you have always had. I haven't taken it out of flu vaccine.
That's sad. Now, when you were on my show last, you said that the elderly should consider the flu vaccine because they're the greatest at risk to die from the flu, correct?
That's correct. But as it turned out, for the swine flu, the elderly had the most natural immunity to it.
Huh.
So they had apparently been exposed to some similar virus decades earlier and retained immunity. So that was very interesting.
Which, you know, leads me back to the movie Contagion. I went to see Contagion, truly, like I go to see any movie for entertainment. But shortly after watching it, I couldn't help but feel snookered. I know that back in the Tudor dynasty, when King Henry VIII decided to abandon Catholicism for his new form of religion, he hired the players back then that put on plays to do funny little bits about Catholicism so that people would laugh at the religion and there would be an easement of his desire to break from it. So what I'm saying is that entertainment and in this country, Hollywood has been enlisted by governments for decades. The movie Top Gun was paid for in total by the Air Force because they were not seeing the number of enlisted men that the other arms or branches of the military see.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? Tom Cruise was successful because everybody wanted to be a fighter pilot after that. And more recently, in my humble opinion, Contagion. Contagion is so transparent, designed to show that the CDC is made up of nothing but saints just waiting to be sanctified, giving their lives to save people and finding, discovering vaccines that help people. And you know what? And don't get me wrong. There are great people at the CDC. I know people at the CDC that listen to this show. It's made up of good people. But the point is, I walked out of that movie going to myself, I just spent money to watch government propaganda.
Yeah.
Did you feel that way when you saw it, or did you just think, oh, it's just a stupid movie?
Well, I thought that scientifically most of it was accurate. I thought that the young woman, the CDC officer who was sent to investigate the epidemic, was appropriately officious, you know, very stern and bossy. I find that people from the CDC often feel that they have the last word. You can't argue science with them. It's like we're the government and we're here to help you.
Right.
And you will, you know, take it the way we give it to you. So, you know, I have felt that the CDC is unfortunately an extremely politicized agency. We know that for a fact when Julie Gerberding was the head of CDC.
Right.
She changed so many things around. There were many senior people who resigned in protest and several former CDC directors who wrote a letter talking about how bad her management was. Where did she go as soon as she had to wait a year? She waited exactly 1 year. And after leaving the directorship of CDC, she became the president of Merck Vaccine.
See, and my humble opinion, I've talked about this on the show so many times. That should be illegal. I think if you work for the FDA or the CDC, that you should not be able to go to work in private sector with companies that you provided oversight for at any point in your career. You should have to cut your strings and move to another industry. Because that is the worst type of corruption, in my opinion. Because lots of people go to work inside government agencies so that they can have entree. They can gain favor and have entree to private companies.
Yep.
And you know what? They are not representing the people that they're supposed to be protecting. They are representing the companies that they're supposed to be providing oversight. And that should not be allowed.
So then there was John Grabenstein, who directed the anthrax vaccine program for the Army. And he was so good at making up lies about anthrax vaccine and doing bogus research that they put him in charge of all vaccines for the entire military. And where did he go when he left the military? He became a vice president at Merck Vaccines.
It's just shocking.
And he used the same techniques he used to push anthrax vaccine for Gardasil.
And that's my fear. Now they're going, now Gardasil, and who knows what the fallout of Gardasil is going to be. We have to take our last commercial break, Dr. Nass. When we come back, I want to wrap it up and summarize. I want to try to give people some sort of effective way of assessing what vaccines are worth the risk. We're talking with Dr. Meryl Nass. You can learn more about her by going to anthraxvaccine.blogspot.com. We'll be right back. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to aaefx.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
today.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today. 6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to IronMagLabs.com today. The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels, but most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MAHLER.com.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Meryl Nass. Her blog is anthraxvaccine.blogspot.com. Now, you blog about a lot more than just the anthrax vaccine, right, Dr. Nass?
Yes, I do.
But, I mean, that's really where you took your biggest stand. I mean, you've testified before Congress. Did you get the attention of Congress when you testified on behalf of the men and women who were being exposed to the anthrax vaccine at that point in time?
We had a number of supporters in Congress, some of whom later changed their position. I believe that that was probably because of lobbying and donations that were made by the manufacturer of the vaccine.
I know sitting back here listening to this type of stuff, it sickens me and it makes me feel like there is no hope because corruption will always win out and people will always be exploited. During that process, when you felt like you made ground and then found out that they had flip-flopped on you, and obviously why, because someone else is talking to them and offering them things that you couldn't, do you lose faith?
Yes, you do lose faith in the system, and you look for ways to try to make changes in the system so that the laws that we have will actually be enforced, you know, and people will be held accountable. And right now, you know, we haven't had that happening in the United States for quite a while.
Yeah. I think
the courts are such that we are not getting the kinds of decisions. For example, you know, when the federal government says it's going to restrict FOIA requests and that agencies can now lie and tell citizens that they don't have documents when requested, you know, the courts are unlikely to rule in favor of the citizens when that happens.
Well, and that's the sad part of all this, because the reality is that people think that judges are altruistic and put in positions because of their ability to be judicious, and they're not. They're put in positions because of their favoritism to specific political views and the adherence to those views and the protection of those views and the protection of the people that help them get into those positions. So judges are just as corrupt as anybody else. The only difference is they're ruling on things that impact millions of people. And the term I couldn't think of before is sovereign immunity.
Yes. Governments
are protected by sovereign immunity, and that needs to be done away with. There should be no person in this world, not president, not king, no one, that should be allowed to not be held accountable by the same rules tactics that the people that it provides oversight and rules over. And judges should be able to go to jail for making bad decisions. And politicians, absolutely. You know what I'm waiting for? I'm waiting for the truth in advertising laws, someone to come up and sue a politician who wins a race and doesn't do what he promises to do within his term and put him in jail, just like somebody who says, these pills will make you lose 20 pounds in 3 days, and they don't. And then the FDA and everybody, the FTC goes after and puts the guy in jail. Well, politicians are doing the same thing day in and day out. They're promising to make changes, and then once they get off in office, they don't do those things. We should use the same truth in advertising laws against them. I'm waiting for that. I want to see politicians go to jail when they lie.
I would love to see that.
Yes, yes.
I mean, we have a president who's flipped 180 degrees on a number of issues since he was running for election.
Yes, but you know what? I have to tell you, this is a nonpartisan statement. I don't trust, there isn't a politician. I really, really like the Pauls, Ron and Rand, but I don't trust a politician in this day and age because they always let you down. They always, at the end of the day, let you down. And my attitude is, and they always say, well, I wanted to do what I wanted to do, but the bureaucracy and what, you know what? Then don't make those promises if you can't keep them. Don't get voted into office on those promises.
Exactly.
All right. Back on track here for a second because we're running low on time. Okay. So what can people do when faced with the decision of getting a vaccine for one thing or another? Is there a litmus test, a way that we can say, okay, this one is worth, the risk is worth the reward?
No, there isn't any one litmus test because the data sets that are available to people, some of them are more reliable than others. One organization that provides very reliable information is the Cochrane Collaboration. It's a group of scientists from around the world who perform meta-analyses of all therapeutic products. So a meta-analysis means you look at all the studies that have been published on this topic. You grade those studies based on the quality of the study, you know, how the study was conducted. And then you weed out the bad studies, and then you see what the bulk of the world's evidence shows. So that's a meta-analysis. And they do this for all drugs and all vaccines. And their results are usually quite reliable. So I would say, if you have a chance, look at the Cochrane Collaboration reports because they have reviewed the world literature and they've looked for quality. Unfortunately, what happens with some other groups, like, you know, the Institute of Medicine that did a report on anthrax vaccine, they accepted all kinds of studies regardless of the quality. So they basically made their decision based on very poor quality Army studies. And that was apparently planned in advance.
Really?
So, yeah. So they said, well, we did not take the weight of evidence approach. And weight of evidence means, you know, if this is a good study and this is a bad study, you weight the good study more. You take that into account much more. Well, they actually wrote at the beginning of their report that they decided not to take the weight of evidence approach. So, you know, that they took an arbitrary approach to looking at data and came up with an answer that said, well, the anthrax vaccine is sufficiently safe, but a better vaccine is urgently needed. So what does that mean? It's not safe. It's not known to be effective either. That's why you urgently need a new vaccine.
Dr. Nass, do you subscribe to vaccinations? Do you get vaccines for any reason?
Do I? Yes, I do, but I'm very judicious about what I get. So, for instance, if I'm going overseas, I might get a polio. If I'll be a polio booster, I think getting a tetanus is important every so often. I'm going to have to be in discussions with my hospital about this whole idea about having medical professionals take the flu vaccine because I think there is no good evidence that my getting a flu vaccine is going to help my patients. So, you know, I go case by case.
You know, I always think it's interesting that the there's a number of people at any given time in the world who will not fall susceptible to something, anything. Even when the Black Plague struck, there were people who came in contact with people who had the plague, but they didn't contract it themselves. So it shows that the immune system is quite robust and in some instances can fight off these types of assaults on their own. You would think that we would be looking at Aubrey de Grey I don't know. Do you know who Aubrey de Grey is by any chance?
No.
He wrote a paper on the linkage between the mitochondria and aging, and he has authored several books about anti-aging or longevity, if you will. And in one of his chapters recently, in one of the books I read recently, one of the chapters, he just touches on vaccines as a side note and says that there are much better ways to handling developing resistance to diseases than vaccination, and probably what you talked about at the beginning of the show. Reiterate again, at the beginning of the show, you said that there are better alternatives than vaccines. These are what again?
Right. Well, I said for flu, for instance, you know, wearing a mask if you're coughing or if you're around somebody else who's coughing, you know, wearing gloves so that because you can contract sometimes.
Let me ask you this question then. I haven't gotten a flu vaccine in many, many, many years because the last time I got a flu vaccine, the following day I developed the flu. And I've heard this story from many, many people. So,
as have I.
Okay. So in essence, isn't it just better to go ahead and get the flu and let your body develop a full blown immunity to it on its own than these vaccines?
Well, again, it depends. For flu, when the virus is changing all the time, getting immunity to this year's virus may not help you in the future, but it may. Now, there was a flu vaccine that was given out in 2008, and Canada has done a number of studies on this. If you got that flu vaccine in 2008, you were almost twice as susceptible to actually developing the swine flu illness a year later. So that vaccine actually had a negative effect, negative efficacy for swine flu disease. Some years the flu vaccine doesn't even match any of the strains that are circulating, so that you get no benefit from it. Let me talk about measles.
Please.
And measles, mumps, pertussis vaccines. You get some, you have live. Well, pertussis is killed, but measles and mumps are live vaccines. You get an attenuated strain, and you get an immunity that is not as long-lasting as one would like.
Exactly.
If you got the disease, you would have lifetime immunity.
Right.
Unless there's something wrong with your immune system. But what we have now are epidemics of pertussis, mumps, and measles in different places in the Western world right now, and many of those cases are in people who got vaccinated. So what the government is saying is you need to keep getting vaccines. You need to get more and more of the measles, mumps, rubella, you know, vaccines. You need to get more pertussis vaccinations, and that's how we're going to solve the problem. But many people have had, you know, a number of pertussis vaccinations, and 3, 4, 5 or more, and are still coming down with pertussis. Same for mumps. You know, people had the 2 vaccinations and were still coming down with mumps.
I got the mumps when I was a kid, and I have to believe I was probably vaccinated for it as well.
You may have been, it depends how old you are. But people like me, the government assumes we've all gotten measles, mumps, and rubella as children. I'm 60.
I'm 53.
Doesn't require it. Yeah, starting in 1958 is when they start saying, the vaccines became available, and you might have gotten the illness and the vaccine. It's quite true.
I got it. I got the mumps at a very, very young age. I remember it. I remember my, you know, having to stay indoors, and I remember my mom talking about the mumps. You know, he's got the mumps, but I survived through it. I was fine. You know, I was
right.
Still a pain in the neck. My mother told me. So, but you know,
some people who have those illnesses do develop severe complications, but it's a very low number. You know, we're trying to kind of prevent all these medical problems. I mean, we're trying to prevent Alzheimer's with a vaccine, for example.
Right.
And I think the thing is, you know, we have to die of something. It seems to make sense for some people to get the illness. I find because I work in a hospital and because I'm exposed to sick people all the time, I've only gotten influenza twice in a, you know, 35-year career.
My point exactly.
So,
your immune system is probably heightened. Yeah.
I'm getting boosted by all those little exposures I'm getting.
Right.
And I don't think I need the flu vaccine for that reason.
You know what? When I was a kid, I worked on the racetrack, and I ate with filthy hands. I handled horse poopy all day long. And you know what? Those years, I never got sick. I never got anything. I never got the cold, flu, anything. And I have to believe that coming in contact with those microbes that I came in contact with every day actually made my, almost like resistance exercise makes the arms stronger. You don't go right out and bench 500 pounds. You start out with 100 and you work your way up, and your immune system works the same way. When it's constantly assaulted with low levels of this stuff day in and day out, it gets stronger and stronger. Then when you get a full-blown assault, it goes, huh, I'm prepared for that. And it just pushes it off. And that's what I think people should be focusing on. I think people should be focusing on modalities to enhance their immune system over the course of years, as opposed to going for vaccines. But then again, what do I know? I just host a radio show. So there you go. Anyway.
Well, we need to study that, because if there were bioterrorism, we don't know what the bug's going to be. We're not going to have vaccines available immediately. And those people with a better immune systems are going to be the ones who do better.
One last question that I have to ask you, because I know that, and I know that this is not your area of expertise, and that, I mean, children's vaccinations, but I have lots of listeners and they always ask me this question. Every so often I get an email, especially just recently when school started, and someone said, you know, they want my child to get this vaccine, or we just had a baby and they want to give them that vaccine. And I never ever say, don't get a vaccine, because that would be just as reckless as, ignorantly saying, get every vaccine. But what do parents do? What do parents do when they're faced with almost mandatory vaccinations in some cases, because they're unknowingly getting their children vaccinated at birth, and they're not even asked, hey, do you want this vaccine? These things just occur summarily. What do parents do?
Well, parents have the right to say no. If your child is in the daycare that requires it or school that requires the vaccine, then, you know, you have to weigh not sending your child to that school or that daycare. But you do have the right to say no. And most states give you a variety of exemptions. So there could be a medical exemption, there could be a religious or a philosophical exemption for vaccinations. Now, it seems prudent with the rate of autism to delay vaccination. So it makes sense that children get, you know, a number of vaccinations. For instance, the tetanus. I am definitely in favor of that. But maybe they don't need to get it at 2 months. If they're being cared for at home, they're not being exposed to tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis, then they can wait and get that vaccine when they're older and are less susceptible to it. A severe reaction. I think each person's situation is different, though.
Yeah, and they have to be informed, and that's the other thing. And you know, you're not going to be easily informed. You're going to have to do the research on your own. You know, it's interesting, because one of the things that I learned about that agency that's paying out on behalf of vaccine manufacturers, the government agency that we talked about earlier. One of the things that they have done that I learned on Barbara Lowe Fisher's website, which is a vaccine information service that she has there, is that they've paid 8 families for the linkage between childhood vaccinations and the development of autism. And I can't believe that the government agency would pay those 8 families for some marginal evidence that this occurred. Now, naturally, those families, when they got paid by the government, were forced into a gag order. They could not discuss the settlement. They couldn't discuss anything about it, but they were settled, financially remunerated for their proof that the autism occurred as a result of a vaccination. And you're right. With the rise in autism in this country, people really should, when it comes to children, really think long and hard and weigh out the risks and rewards before they just automatically allow their child to be vaccinated. Because we just don't know. I'm not saying that vaccines cause autism, but I don't think that the pharmaceutical companies can unabashedly say that they don't.
Right. We do know, and even Julie Gerberding acknowledged this, that given the right genetics, such as Hannah Poling, who had an inborn error of mitochondrial function, given the right genetics, a very serious reaction can occur, which eventually leads to autism.
Really?
In some children, yeah. So again, these are things you have to consider. If you had autistic children in the family, I would be much more concerned than if you didn't.
Interesting. You know, there was one, and I'll leave on this too, and there was a study that I read for one of our upcoming shows several months ago that showed that children who die of SIDS, and maybe you've seen this, usually die of SIDS within 2 weeks of receiving the diphtheria shot. And then I read another research paper that associated SIDS with an altered serotonin response, because the serotonin response apparently is part of the alarm system of the brain. So if a baby is laying face down and is not able to breathe, serotonin levels change, so the baby wakes up and gasps for air, and that is suppressed in babies who die of SIDS. And I was actually talking to somebody who works within the pharmaceutical industry. She's very, very high up. And I mentioned these. I mentioned the first statement about 2 weeks after DIP, and she said, well, you know, they've seen that it's really related to serotonin. I said, well, why can't it be that the diphtheria vaccine alters the normal serotonin response in the brain? She said, because it goes away. I said, and more proof. It's idiopathic. The baby only has it for a short time, and then it goes away, this altered serotonin response. It's very possible, or at least plausible, that the diphtheria shot causes this, and then it goes away over a period of time. And I say to parents, if you have a baby that had a diphtheria shot, they may be genetically predisposed to have this change in serotonin that could put them at greater risk for SIDS. So anyway, okay.
I haven't seen that paper.
Yeah, I want to go ahead and plug your website one more time. It's anthraxvaccine.blogspot.com. I'm sure that the discussions will continue to rage on about vaccines. We will not have conclusive information until the manufacturers of vaccines come forth and are truthful about the potential side effects of their vaccines. The problem is, if they do that, they'll sell fewer vaccines. So you have to inform yourself, and a place that you can inform yourself is by going to Dr. Nass's blog. Again, anthraxvaccine.blogspot.com. Meryl,
and if I can just say,
yes,
the National Vaccine Information Center website is www.nvic.org.
And that's Barbara Lowe Fisher's website, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
I wanted her to be on the show. I begged her to be on the show. I told her that she would be treated with the utmost of respect. I don't know, maybe she felt that my show was not worthy of her appearance. I don't know what it was, but if she ever wants to come on the show, I want to have her on the show. So there you go.
Okay.
Listen, thanks so much for being on the show today, Dr. Nass.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so hopefully we've answered some questions about vaccines. Probably more questions are probably going to arrive as a result of this interview. I want you to email your questions to me at onair@superhumanradio.com. If I fail to answer a question about vaccines today, email it to me. We will put together a follow-up show, perhaps with Dr. Nass, perhaps with someone else, or a group of people. Thanks for listening to Superhuman Radio. Dan John will be on tomorrow during the first hour to do the interview that he was supposed to do today, athletic intervention. We'll see you tomorrow.